Happy holidays and happy new year, everyone. Today, we're taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations we've had this last year in regards to the Delphi murder case and the charges against Richard Allen.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
What is next for Richard Allen, the man accused of being the Delphi murderer? We've heard so many things over the last several months from Odinistic cults that came in and maybe killed these girls to you name it. The case has had so many twists and turns. The latest twist is the defense attorneys who helped craft that very Odinistic theory have now left the case. They have withdrawn. What is next for Richard Allen? Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, joining us to discuss. What was your reaction when you heard the news that the defense of Richard Allen is no more?
Shock, but we're getting used to shock when dealing with the Delphi murders, unfortunately. What's next for Richard Allen? Prayer. What else can go sideways in this guy's defense? As we've said on the show before, you got to give props to these defense attorneys. And I was watching True Crime the other day, and I was just amazed at the tenacity, the ferocity in which they believe their client innocent, you know, which bodes very well for Richard Allen. And yet all these weird kind of missteps, you know, like the release of the evidence because someone betrayed a trust in the office and it goes sideways again. And you're like, what the heck could go sideways now for this guy? What's next? Well, I think it'll be interesting. So here's the interesting point. Here's a glass half full. Let's get another set of eyes in there.
Okay.
It'll be interesting to see another defense attorney or team come in to take a fresh look at everything and see if they come up with the same defense, the same conclusion. That's what I think will be really interesting at this point. This is the furthest thing from a done deal. And I think that's the real point when looking at true crime and murders and all these investigations. I mean, every week when we go through our list of what we're going to chat about, what strikes me all the time is you can never have enough reps and understand it all. I mean, because no case is the same. There's never an open and shut case. There's never an easy conclusion. There's always different things that make things go sideways on us. And this is just another prime example of it. I'm actually kind of really fascinated, though, when the judge appoints a new defense counsel and we see what fresh look it has. It'll be really interesting. Can you imagine if another defense comes in there and comes up with the same defense?
I'm wondering. I mean, can they walk it back at this point? Would they walk it back at this point? I mean, it's already been kind of set out there. And if they were to come back and say, no, we don't think any of that could possibly be true, we think this is true. I don't know. I mean, I do feel bad for Richard Allen at this point. He is innocent until proven guilty. Right. And there isn't a lot of evidence in front of us that points to him being guilty. What actually I feel like has made him look guiltier have been some of these tactics, have been some of these arguments of the Odinism and God knows what else. Right. That to me, it reminds me of a child, you know, stealing a cookie or something. And like, you're asking, well, what happened? Oh my gosh, the neighbor's dog came in here and came through the window, did this. I mean, just a fantastical story, but something that really has a simple answer to it. That doesn't need all of the extra bells and whistles because it just makes him look more guilty than he would be without.
So let's do our thought experiment. So imagine we have a conjecture, fast forwarding thought experiment. Imagine we have another defense team that gets assigned and they come in. And as you were saying, and I've said this too, this Odinism cult defense is like a spike out of the norm. We've never seen this in our country. You know, this is kind of weird, and things that don't follow an arc of behavior of murders and behaviors don't quite fit, and they're generally not right. Mm-hmm. But, and it'd be interesting to see hindsight, you talk about conspiracy theories. Maybe think about the conspiracy of these two defense attorneys decided the only way for this Odinism defense to hold up is to get a fresh set of eyes on it. And you, so if you got a fresh set of eyes, can you imagine a defense team that comes in there, if you get two defense attorneys in there again, and they come up with exactly the same defense, and they have no personal ties whatsoever to the former defense team, would you believe it more now or less?
I think I'd believe it about the same, honestly, because
it's fascinating, though, wouldn't it be?
I mean, it would be if they were to come in and it were to have more receipts and more legs than it does. It is so interesting because you can go down each one of these paths a little bit, some a little bit further than others, but then they kind of stop. But then the kind of, you know, common sense kicks in and goes,
there's a lot of leaps. There's a lot of leaps that are being made.
Yeah, they're very much just, what do you make of the, I mean, it seems like a lot of office infighting or issues with the defense is really what has, you know, tanked this whole thing as of right now, including a suicide. What's your take on that part of this story? Because it just adds another layer of mystery and intrigue to this already just bizarre story.
Yeah, as you and I have said before, when I first saw this whole thing happen, and then when you look deeper about the release and the stealing, basically, of the photos and the releasing of it and a suicide, when you start seeing chaos and you don't understand what's going on, that means there's a lot of chaos that we don't see what's going on. That's why this is where you stop conjecture. Mm-hmm. You slow, Judge did a great job. Let's slow down. Let's not set any dates. Let new people come in here. Let's take another, whether it was design or not, you know, this needs a fresh look and a slowing down to really see what is. And because when I heard all that, we got chaos.
Oh, yeah.
And chaos means that we don't have all the data points, because things can be understood if you have all the information. If you have situational awareness of all that's transpired, everything makes sense. You might not agree with it. It might be tragic. It might be horrible, but at least it'll make sense. Great example is the Daybell case, you know, with Lori Daybell. It took me making massive wire diagrams to figure out all these crazy relationships. Why? Because that's a weird, chaotic person.
Yeah.
And so when you have chaos, it's hard to nail down chaos because of all these moving parts with all these different people. Same thing here. We got a lot of chaos with things we're not understanding. So that means that we don't have, which we never do because we're not the prosecutors, we're not defense, we don't have all the data points that give us a clear enough picture to make it understandable. Mm-hmm. And this was just one more layer added on to. I have no idea. This is just crazy. So this added to a layer of crazy for me.
We have to take a look to, I mean, I agree. Let's take a step back. Let's let the new defense come in here and examine this further. But at the same point, we have a man that is being accused of this crime sitting in solitary confinement. By the time even if he were to be exonerated today, he would not be a healthy person coming out of there. You can just see the trauma that he's been through. And if at the end of the day, we're like, well, nope, guess we were wrong, then you got this man who you've traumatized and now we're releasing back into the world and to his family and, you know, saying, hey, go pick up life now. It's not how it's going to go. In the meantime, I mean, why do they not consider looking at some of the other facets of this case, which I think would be very strong on appeal, like having him in a maximum security prison in solitary confinement and innocent until proven guilty? You talk about somebody, you know, like Koberger, who's getting vegan meals, has his own TV in a fairly cush environment, and there's a hell of a lot more evidence over there that he murdered four people. It's all innocent till proven guilty, but that's why we have that sort of system, innocent till proven guilty. Why are we keeping him there? I mean, that must be a choice by the state, and why not pull that back? Why not get him into something more appropriate for where the case is at right now?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. It's sad, and we even talked about this as a possibility, too. You know, that he might have been, you know, have some mental challenges going in, not mental issues, but, you know, he might have, you know, when you go out for walks alone by yourself in the woods to kind of collect yourself, and you do that routinely in some way, you know, he might have some sort of trauma he's trying to deal with even before all this happened. And so when you compound it with how they're treating him inside the system, it makes it even worse, like you said. Again, pure conjecture on all that, but obviously someone who is in need and they're compounded. I have no idea. You know, it's every state has its different ways in which they deal with their criminal justice system. Every prison has its own ways. Every warden has its own ways. The warden's like the captain of the ship, you know, out at sea. It can kind of run things, you know, the way they want to, as long as it's adhering to whatever state laws and regulations they have for the correctional institutions and facilities. This is an area that is not my area of expertise, but it's easy to see that this is not congruent across the country and across the states, because this is vastly different. Just look at Alec Murdoch.
Yeah.
You know, he's sitting there on his iPad, convicted murderer. He's got more liberty than the guy who's not even convicted of anything.
He's got more liberty than somebody who can't afford an iPad.
Right.
I mean, it's just like, wow, you got the iPad here to do this with.
No. Yeah, so you mentioned Koberger, who's just accused. Yeah. I was thinking of, I went immediately to Murdoch.
Very true. Yeah, very true. There's just so much that doesn't make sense in this. One can only hope that that new set of eyes will put us in another direction here going
forward. Yeah, and I hope if he is eventually found innocent of this, that someone comes forward and figures out a way to get him the resources he needs to kind of readjust, because talk about getting some PTSD.
Oh, God.
This would definitely cause some major issues in his own life, both personally and professionally, obviously.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.